Victory McIntosh behind the mic on Urban Family Talk. Welcome. This is the Hour of Intercession. I am not Pastor Joseph Parker, but I am sitting in for that blessed man of God. And we have a great show lined up for you guys today. So I'm so glad you tuned in. And to start off, I want to read a little bit of Psalm chapter 63. Happy Monday, by the way, guys. Excuse me. Okay, so here we go. Let's start off. Psalm chapter 63. We're going to read the first few verses. It says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Woo, Jesus. Verse 5 says, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Verse 7. Oh, I skipped one. Verse 6. Real live radio here. Verse 6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Let me say that again. The mouth of them that speak lies. You've had somebody to lie against you, speak up against you. They shall be stopped. Amen. All right, so real quick, let's do a little homework. So first off, I want to welcome all of you. Thank you so much for tuning in to Urban Family Talk. This is the Hour of Intercession. Also, all of our listeners who are on Afrika TV, I know somebody's like, what is Afrika? I got to stop saying it so fast because my mother says I sound like I'm saying freak, but I'm not. So Afrika, you can tune in and see what's going on in the studio right now. Simply go to afreka.tv/hourofint. All right. Did you get that? I'll repeat it one more time. So afreka.tv/hourofint. And you'll see who my in-studio guest is. And I'm about to introduce her. Ooh, oh, get too close to the mic. And you'll see what's going on and also hear the show. So today we're going to be discussing the story of Jonah. Man, okay, I'm so excited about this because I know somebody's probably thinking, oh, okay, she's going to be talking about disobeying God. Actually, no, we're going to be discussing forgiveness through the story of Jonah. We got a little background story of him. So the story of Jonah, of him, because how he resisted, disobeyed God's call, but finally he obeys God, but not with a joyful attitude. So we'll discuss that some more because Jonah is known as the reluctant prophet. But before we get to that, our in-studio guest, let me turn my chair around, Kendra White. Kendra, what?
I am so excited to be here. Jade asked me this morning, she said, hey, can you come on? And Jade is one of those friends that, like, every time I'm around you, I'm encouraged. And I come away, my spirit is just like, you know, like, I'm trying to have an example.
I feel the same way about you, girl.
It's just one of those friendships.
Iron sharpening iron.
Yes, yes. And to get to be here with you is
awesome.
You're
so funny. Sherry B., our producer, she said we need to bottle her. You are funny, Sherry B.
Aw, you're so
sweet. But to God be the glory, I feel the same way about you, Kendra. And I'm not just saying that on live radio. Seriously, Kendra, she's a lot like me in the sense we're big on, we speak on what we can compliment on. Because ain't nobody got time to lie.
It's true.
Nobody got time for that.
It's true. But I do work for AFA. I work for American Family Studios, a division of AFA. And I'm a filmmaker and director, writer, producer. We wear a lot of hats, so I
yes.
do whatever God says to do.
And how old are you, if your mommy asked me?
I am 29
She's
years
young.
She's
young and doing this. And look, for you
and
more seasoned people.
And I turned 30 this year, so there's that
Girl,
out there.
That's not old.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
so young.
You know what? I'm blessed for every year that I have, and I wouldn't really... The things that have happened in the past have made me who I am, so I wouldn't change anything.
Amen. And she doesn't look her age. Not that 30's old, because it's not. But the reason why I asked Kendra to come in, not only does she wear all those hats, this sister knows the word. And I thought, man, she'd be perfect to chop down the story of Jonah, because we're going to break it down a little bit on forgiveness. And, I mean, she just Yeah,
but I'm interested to see. I was homeschooled. Scripture memory was a big part of my high school and middle school years.
Watch this, Philippians 4:13. Hit it.
Oh, you're going to do me like that, Jay? You're going to start me out. Start me out. Whatsoever.
Philippians 4:13.
Hang on, start me out.
You know that one.
I do.
I
can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Look at her. Ooh, now I'm getting red.
Sorry, I should have
done the brain. What?
Look, and it wasn't until I met her.
Here I'm bragging. I'm like, scripture memory was a big part of my childhood. and then she's like, prove it. And I'm like, yeah.
I'm sorry. No, seriously, y'all. We got to
It's the common
it.
Ones that get you confused,
I
right?
know,
because you're
simple.
Like, I'm awful with the numbers.
But it's okay. It's okay. Until I met her, I thought I was good at memorizing scripture and knowing it. Until I met her, I was like, man, she slick got me beat.
Well,
in a good way.
Before the mics were on, we were talking about prayer, and Jade was talking about wanting to pray longer, and like one of the things that like has helped me in prayer is like praying scripture and being able to have that right ready. But
you know,
I run out of things to say.
Real
quick.
No way.
I do.
I was gonna say when you brought that up, because I know one time you did devotion and you said you were reading, I can't remember what you were reading, but whatever you were reading, you said people came up to you and they were like, man, that was such a good prayer. And you said, all I was doing was praying scripture.
Yeah, I was like, I'm stealing from
God's
word. So he gets the credit, but I'm really glad it ministered to you. Yeah.
I'm so glad Kendra's in here. Kendra White, y'all. I was about to say find her on Facebook, but I don't know if she wants you
That's
to do
all right.
That.
You can find
okay?
me, unless you're crazy.
But she's also a phenomenal speaker, minister of the gospel. Like, seriously, I'm not just saying that because she's in here, but it's the truth. So I want us to break down Jonah. So a little background. Many of us know God called Jonah to go to Nineveh to minister to those knuckleheads. They were doing evil things, kind of like Sodom and Gomorrah. But did you know this? This is what just blows my mind. I don't give Jonah a hard time now that I know this background of Nineveh. So Jonah was an Israelite. I'm trying to turn this way. Let me go this way. Jonah was an Israelite. And Nineveh, people from Nineveh, they were evil. Many of them have killed Israelites. So it was more of, it wasn't just Jonah saying, I'm going to disobey God. I'm not going to do what he's called me to do. It was more of God was asking Jonah to go speak to a group of people who have killed his relatives, who have done his relatives wrong.
You don't hear that part normally,
you
do you?
Yeah. All you hear is he disobeyed God. But no, so let's break it down. And then I definitely want you to elaborate on it with us, Kendra. I'm going to read Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of, Amittai, that A word.
You just go with saying, it.
Just go with it. Somebody had to make it up. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee. Lord, God done told you to do something. Instead of you going and saying, yes, Lord, you're saying, no, I'm not doing it. Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish to go away from the presence of the Lord. What you think of that, Kendra?
Well, I find it really hilarious that if you look up on a map where Tarsus, Nineveh, and Joppa are, it's like the most extreme opposite of what their known world was, right? So it's like you see, okay, God called him to go here. He went her. He went way over here. That's the first thing that came to my mind when you read that.
I need to check that out. I need to look at it on a map. Well, and because another thing that crossed my mind, I have to break this down again, seriously. I don't want you all to just see Jonah as the reluctant prophet. I want you to see that this man fled, you know, disobeyed God because of what God was asking him to do. Maybe there's somebody whom has hurt you, hurt your family, man, has done something that was so low down, but God has asked you to plant a seed in their life. And now when I say plant a seed, it's not always financially. It could be an encouraging word. It could be a scripture. But he asked. There's someone who corrects me. I think Sherry B, the producer, corrects me on that too.
She's raising her hand.
Ask you to do something good. Scott, could you share a little bit of maybe there's a story where that's happening to you?
Oh, Kendra? Man, it's tough. I've had many, many stories. One that comes to mind is a boss that I had many years ago that whenever I would have just a really rough time forgiving this person, because they just got to the spot where they really hated my guts. You know, those people that you just walk in the door and you smile and they just like stop smiling, you know, and a lot of people feel that way about me. But
let me know who they are so I can pop them
all
in the
right,
face.
Thanks,
I'm
Jay,
just playing. I'm a Christian.
But you know, when you have the joy of the Lord, sometimes that can grate on people. Well,
yeah,
anyways, this person, they'd done some very hurtful things, and I don't want to get into details, but God prompted on my heart to go clean this boss's office. And
whoa,
it was a
Kendra.
Mess. He said, okay, you don't feel it, but I want you to act on it. Right? Mm. I want you to take the first step. I'll supply the feeling that you need later. It's going to take some time, but I want you to walk out in the spirit what I've called you to do. So I'm in there vacuuming his office and picking up his crumbs everywhere.
Wait, did he know that you?
No. Okay. I wait till he's gone, right? Right. So I'm doing all this, and in my heart, God, I can't believe he did me this way. And I got to the point with this person that, like, I could not pray for them.
That's real talk.
And that, to me, is like an indicator that there's something wrong in your heart if you cannot pray for somebody. Mm-hmm. And so I just had to go before the Lord. And it took a lot of time. Like, I did not feel it. And I think a lot of times with forgiveness, people think that when you forgive someone, you're excusing what they did. But that's not the case. Mm-hmm. You're not saying what they did didn't happen or didn't hurt you. You're saying, I'm going to rise above it, and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to intercede for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to want good things. I'm going to choose to see you the way God sees you.
Hey, Kendra, you better preach.
Oh, it was hard, though.
Yes. And you know what I love? Because I've been in a similar situation with a coworker where they, you know, gave me a hard time and just cotton picking, you know, I'm from the South, just did me wrong.
Right.
But where one day I was, like you said, it's not a feeling. I didn't feel like praying for this person, but I knew that the Holy Ghost was prompting me to do so. So I was real with the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm going to pray for this person only because your word says for me to do it. But I need you to help me to want to do it willingly and compassionately. And in due time, like you said, he did that. But this is the thing. We as believers, we have to want to obey God's word.
Yes.
Why? Because we love God. John 14:15, it says, if you love me, God says, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments.
Right.
You'll obey his word.
And he forgave us. So how can we not forgive others?
Can't
right?
You just step on our toes?
Right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Do we have time for a question?
Yeah, girl.
All right, so, you know, scripture talks about if you forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. So
Mark,
here's a question.
11:24-25.
Do you read that verse to mean that our forgiveness from God is dependent upon our ability to forgive others? Is that true?
Kitcha! Keep up in my mouth in this mic. Girl, that is so good. Okay, can we hold that?
We can hold it.
Because I actually had that scripture, Mark 11:24-25. It talks about
we're
that.
We're getting there.
Could you actually pray for our, because when we come back from
yes.
the break, we're going to hit on that. That's a, girl, this is good.
All right.
Could you pray for the listeners? Maybe there's somebody who is dealing with unforgiveness. And could you pray for them?
Yes.
Help them out with that.
Dear Jesus, we thank you that through your Holy Spirit, we have power to do things that we can't do on our own. God, we have power to overcome the flesh through your Spirit.
Yes.
Father God, I ask that if there's someone right now who is harboring bitterness in their heart, I ask that you would free them from that. Holy Spirit, that you would help them to release that, to surrender that unforgiveness, that you would take that away. And God, I ask that you would give them the next steps, the actions that they are to take, even if they don't feel it, that they would be able to start walking in your spirit. And God, as they walk it step by step, that you would flood their heart with love for this person, that it would be so overwhelming and it would flow out from them.
Yes.
Father God, I ask for the person right now who in their heart is saying, I cannot forgive that person. I cannot. Yes, but through you, all things are possible.
Yes,
God,
Father.
Only through your spirit and your power and your might can that person find the grace to forgive that thing that they feel is unforgivable. Give them your power and your spirit right now, Jesus.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Girl, you better pray. Man, okay, so we're about to hit a break. Guys, look, you definitely do not want to change your channel. Look, call your auntie, your uncles, your cousins. Tell them to tune in to our intercession right now because we're going to hit on this some more. Again, we're talking about the story of Jonah, how to forgive. Victory McIntosh with our in-studio guest, Kendra White. Much more is coming up in just a few moments.
If your presence will not go with me, Do not bring us up from here. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. Moses made this statement atop Mount Sinai with the specter of the Promised Land before him. After the burning bush, the Egyptian plagues, and walking through the Red Sea on dry land, Moses stood as the deliverer to lead Israel into the land promised over 400 years earlier and declared, "I don't want to take another step unless you are with me." Moses extolled God's presence above his promise. It's very easy to elevate destiny and promises over the giver of those things, but we must never allow God's promise to supplant God's presence in our lives.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
How would you distinguish between a modern-day contract and God's ancient covenant? For one thing, in a contract, two or more human beings come together looking for mutual advantage. They study a situation, negotiate, and finally say, "We have reached an agreement." Contracts usually concern money, property, or services. With God's covenant, Abraham never approached God at the bargaining table. God simply said, "This is what I have to offer." The covenant hinged on Abraham's faith in God and in the certainty that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. If God says a thing, then that settles it. By faith, we have inherited God's covenant with Abraham. Through it, God promised us eternal, abundant life. Can you believe God today for the covenant and thank Him? Ask God to give you the will to serve Him faithfully and know that God will always keep His word. With a heart for the Urban Family, I'm today's Urban Woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
Life is never picture perfect. Human beings come in all different shapes, sizes, colors, and abilities. No matter how much we plan, no matter how much we think we're prepared, the unplanned happens all the time. It's how we respond to the unexpected that shows our true humanity. But many do not see the value of every human life. Too many are willing to discard those who don't fit the picture of perfection. Abortion destroys the chance to love and to be loved. We never know what will fill the frames of our lives or how empty those frames can be when we allow exceptions.
Every life is a gift.
Learn more at www.radiance.life.
Anybody want to press a little further? Anybody want to press a little further? Somebody lift your voice unto the Lord. Tell him, "God, I want to press a little further. Press in your presence, Jesus." Come on, we're about to get out of your way, but we want to press a little further. Amen. If I can just press, press in your presence, behold the beauty of your face. If I can just press, press in your presence, and never leave this place again. If I can just press, press in your presence, and leave all my cares behind me, I will be whole. I'll still believe. I will just lay at your feet, for I will be whole. I'll still believe. I will just praise at your feet, right here in your presence. Somebody come on and tell the Lord you want to press a little deeper. Somebody tell the Lord, if I could just press,
if I can just press,
press in your presence,
press in your
behold
presence,
the beauty of your face.
Of your
if
face,
I can just press,
can just
press in your presence,
press in your
and never leave this place again.
This place again.
If I can just press,
press,
press
in your presence and leave all my cares where they are. I will be whole. I still believe. I will just lay at your feet. For I will be whole. I still believe. I will just praise at your feet.
Y'all, we were about to go in. Jesus! Hallelujah. That was Shayna Wilson, Press in Your Presence. Can you like that?
You got to press in sometimes, don't you?
Girl, you have to press in with this
press
flesh.
Press past the ADD, past the grocery list, all of it.
Past the flesh. That's one reason why I wanted to play that jam, because you have to press in, like we were discussing. Oh, welcome back, guys. I'm sorry. Victory McIntosh filling in for Pastor Parker on the Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guest is a dear friend, sister in the Lord. I love her dearly, Kendra White. She works with American Family Studios. She holds a lot of hats. She's a producer, director, I may miss something, writer.
Child of God. Covers them all.
That covers them all. Yes, she's all that and more, and such a dear friend. What you see is what you get with her, and I love it. But she asked a question about Mark 11. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Mark 11, verse 24 and 25. So this is what it says. We always hear this verse 24. Many of you know this, especially if you hung around the Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland group. Assembly of God, AG, mm-hmm. I'm Pentecostal / non-denominational. You've heard this verse, Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Boy, we preach that.
Right.
But we never go to verse 25. Verse 25 says, and when ye stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Kendra. So this is the thing. You cannot receive anything that you desire from the Lord, whatever you believe, verse 24, if you haven't forgiven your brethren. If you haven't walked in forgiveness with someone.
So is that really what that means?
Yeah.
Does that mean you cannot receive God's forgiveness if there's unforgiveness in your heart? I mean, that seems like what it says. But, like, it seems... I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
Let's go for
all right.
It, girl.
Like,
let's go for
there's
it.
Other sins that sometimes you can have in your life that they hinder you from God, but it doesn't mean that He's going to cut off forgiveness to you. Mm-hmm. I mean, you might deal with the sin of gluttony or pride, but God's not just going to cut you off. Does God cut us off if we don't forgive others?
Let's see. Let's break this down. He says, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you for your trespasses. Okay, so Jesus came. Mm-hmm. Let's break this down even more.
Right.
Because look, people, look, we are still, to the day we die, we're going to be learning of God's word. We move glory to glory.
Right.
So, I guess this is what crossed my mind. So Christ came so that we can have life more abundantly. He came to die for our sins, to forgive us of our sins. So when I'm reading this, it's saying, so if when we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, God forgave us for all of our sins. The blood of Jesus, not only did it cover it, it cotton pick and wiped it out. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. So when I'm reading this, if we have unforgiveness for someone, God hasn't forgiven us. He can't forgive us. So your question was,
okay, so I'm coming from Matthew. It's very similar to Mark, but it says it maybe just a little more clearly. It says, and this is Matthew 6, 14 through 15.
Okay.
For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
Oh, that's even better.
I mean, you know, like it's really to the point.
Yeah.
But like I had someone, the reason I bring this up, I had someone who had something in their past and they came to me and they said, Kendra, I cannot forgive this person for this. And they read this scripture and they became concerned for their salvation.
Jesus.
They said, does this mean that if I can't forgive this person that I don't get to go to heaven? And I was like, whoo, this is beyond my my knowledge here. I'm going to have
That's
to dig in
stuff.
A little bit. But, you know, I to be honest, I don't know the answer to that question. But I would say, why risk it?
Oh, Kendra.
You know what? Why, if you have a relationship with your father and you love him and he gives you power to forgive, why would you hold on to something that's going to put distance between you and God and could potentially be devastating to your relationship with God? Because right. it doesn't just affect you and that person you're trying to forgive. It affects you and your heavenly father. Mm-hmm. It starts breaking, you know, our relationship with him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then it can even cause, and we talked about this a little bit, sickness, bitterness, and disease.
Yeah, in your organs.
Yes. James 5:16. Look, everything we discuss here, we like to get scriptural. And I'm like you, I don't know if the person won't go to heaven, but I'm like you, I don't wanna risk it either.
Right.
But James 5:16, let me go to it real quick.
Quote. Love James. You said, James 5:16.
Hit it.
Hang on. You start me. Give me the first word.
Confess.
Confess your sins. He is faithful and just, and he will forgive you your sins. And
confess your faults one to another.
Oh, it's a different version. And cleanse you from all unrighteousness.
What did you memorize?
I had memorized NIV.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Okay,
sorry.
I'm KJV.
Sorry.
Rhema got me this way.
Sorry.
Well, one
sorry
of my
God's
instructors,
word.
He was like, King James only. Oh, my goodness. Our producer, Sherry B, she said King James is the only version. I beg to differ. I do tend to go to KJV, but I like NLT too. But 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed.
Oh, it's a different version. It's a different verse. I had the wrong
KJV.
One.
No, it's okay. Mm. No, we know you're still good.
Fail. Two strikes. No, I'm going to get kicked out.
You good. You still got it going on. You still got it going on. So confess your faults one to another. Another translation said, confess your sins one to another. Pray one for another, that ye may be healed. Sometimes maybe you're not getting healed and you've been believing the Lord for your healing. Maybe because you're holding on some bitterness, some past stuff.
That's good.
Look, Jonah was holding on to bitterness because the people of Nineveh had hurt his relatives. He was an Israelite. Nineveh, they were bad people,
right.
killing folks. So that's why Jonah was like, nah, Lord, I can't go over there and talk and minister to them about repentance when they've done this to my mama, my daddy, my auntie, and it even affected me. Talk about bitterness, because near the end of the story of Jonah, he dies. Yes, he finally obeys God, but he dies. I personally think he was obedient, but he wasn't willing. Isaiah 1:19, it says, if you are willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Yes, he obeyed God finally after getting eaten up by the whale. And then God came, Jonah chapter 3, verse 1, it says, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time.
Well, because he came to them and he preached, you need to repent or God's going to destroy you. And then the people did repent. And he was like, no, you can't come to God. He was willing to, like, proclaim their doom. But when their heart started turning, that shows that he still had unforgiveness in his heart, because he didn't want them to have a right relationship with God.
Right. He didn't want God to forgive them.
Right.
Because he said, what was it? Somewhere where he said, I knew God, you're a gracious God. I have to find the verse. But yeah, that's sad. But you know what? I must commit Jonah. He was real.
Yes.
He was real about it. And that's how God, like, God does not, he does not expect us to come to him perfect, already together. There's so many times when I get an ill feeling towards someone, or even, like, I love being transparent here, when jealousy tries to hit in, when you know that's not in your character. Mm-hmm. I'm like, where is this coming from, God? And there's nothing, you know, and so I correct that real quick. Oh, I'm sorry.
Absolutely. You know what really gets me, though, is that Christians often struggle the most with forgiving other Christians. Mm. It's people in the body of Christ that we hold that bitterness against. Because if it's your enemy that, you know, hurts you, you're like, yeah, okay, I didn't expect much from them. But when you expect something from your mom, for your cousin, from your, you know, your sister, your brother, your friend, when they're the ones that hurt you, it's really hard. And scripture talks about when you come to bring your sacrifice to God, and if if you have something against him, go and, you know, confront him and resolve that, then come back and make your gift. I have to pull up the reference to that scripture.
Kendra, but
so I was in a service once, and it was so awkward, Jade, because this pastor was
Victory.
I
got two names, two personalities.
I'm sorry. I know both of them. multiple personalities. No. Okay. So in this church service, the pastor was like, we're going to stop right now because I feel like there are some grudges amongst you. The Lord has laid this on my heart. And he said, this is what his word says, that you should not, you're trying to give a sacrifice of praise to me, but you got stuff against each other. You can't worship God in freedom when you got this. He said, so right now, we're just going to play some music. And if there's someone you got something against or they got something against you, go find them right now in
Kendra.
This service. Right? So it's so awkward because he says that. And then, like, nobody's moving, right?
It's like,
I'm not moving. They're going to say, because it's public. It's, like, in front of the entire church.
Yeah.
But then, like, all of a sudden, the Spirit of God started moving and people just started going. And it was, like, such a, I mean, it was just so powerful. Like, what if every church service we had that attitude of, I'm not, you know, going to go another day without getting rid of unforgiveness and resolving this conflict.
Life, right?
Oh, man, there'd be a lot of drama that would be resolved.
Resolve unnecessary drama, too.
Unnecessary drama.
Like, are we really going to argue about this?
Right.
That is so good, Kendra. And another thing I was thinking about when you were bringing up that story, that's powerful that pastor did that, is it also forgiving someone requires humility.
Ooh, yes. Because
it's pride when you're like, man, and I'll be real, there have been a number of times when I've told my mom, I'm tired of being the bigger person.
Mm-hmm. And you're not, forgiveness is not about them deserving forgiveness.
Yes.
At all.
Yes.
It is about you having a right relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Because what is the quote that for unforgiveness is a poison that you drink expecting the other person to die.
Ooh,
right? So you're sitting there just like sipping on unforgiveness and it's like poison. The whole time you're thinking, I'm going to get at that person. It doesn't hurt them. Unforgiveness hurts you.
Yeah. Oh, Kendra, Kendra, I would love for you to share this story.
It's my favorite
story. This is so
good. Well, Jade said that we were going to be,
It's okay. Victory. I go by both. Jade,
oh,
Victory.
Goodness.
I go by both names.
My bad.
My birth certificate says Jade, but hey.
I'm going to have to practice that. So when Victory told me we're going to be talking about forgiveness, this is the first story that comes to my mind. So Corrie Ten Boom, if you haven't heard of her, she was a Christian who was keeping Jews in her home during the Holocaust to protect them. They were found out. She and her sister were sent to a concentration camp. In the concentration camp, her sister became so malnourished that, you know, she died. And if anyone has a reason to be bitter about what they were given in life, it would be this woman. But God moved it on her heart to go back to Germany after World War II was over and to proclaim God's forgiveness to a nation that needed to know that there is a God who forgives. So she's doing all of these speaking events, and she's at one. And in the middle of this event, somebody stands up and is coming towards her, and it is a guard from one of the concentration camps where she was that abused her. And so I'm going to read. This is from the Guidepost Classics. She says, and that's when I saw him working his way forward against the others. One moment I saw his overcoat and the brown hat, the next a blue uniform and a visored cap with its skull and crossbones. It came back with a rush. And she talks about remembering her sister having to, like, be stripped naked and walk past and, like, just the abuse and everything.
Wait, Corrie Ten was stripped naked?
Corrie Ten, yep. She went to the concentration camps, and he was one of the ones that was in the room when all of this was happening. And she's remembering, vividly seeing him. She's remembering her sister's death. Now he was in front of me, and now he thrusts his hand forward and says, fine message, Fraulein, because she just preached on forgiveness. How good it is to know that, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea. She says, and I, who had spoken so glibly of forgiveness, I don't know what that word's glibly, sorry, of forgiveness, fumbled in my pocketbook rather than take his hand. So she can't take his hand because she's like, I don't know if I can forgive you. So she's struggling with this. Then he says, you mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk. This is the concentration camp where she was. I was a guard there. So she's like, he doesn't even remember me. But since that time, I've become a Christian, and I now know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did. But I'd like to hear it from your lips as well, Fraulein. And again, he puts his hand forward. Will you forgive me?
Jesus.
Whew,
Jesus.
So she's like in this moment of decision, right? She says, as I stood there, I whose sins had been forgiven could not forgive. Betsy had died in that place. Could he ease her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but to me it seemed like hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I ever had to do, for I had to do it. I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition, we talked about this, that we forgive those who have injured us. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus says, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses.
Mm.
I knew it not only as a commandment of God, but as a daily experience. Since the end of the war, I had a home in Holland for victims of Nazi brutality. Those who were able to forgive their former enemies were also able to return to the outside world and rebuild their lives. So basically, she stands out her
hands. Kendra, we're coming to a break.
She says, Jesus, help me.
Hold.
Okay. We'll come back to it.
All right. Much more is coming up in just a few moments on Arab Intercession. Victory McIntosh in studio with Kendra White. Stay there.
On November 8th, the next president of the United States will be chosen by people who vote. For those who don't vote, someone else will choose the president for them. The most important factor in the democratic process is active and informed voters. Be active. Find your polling place or get an absentee ballot. And let your Christian voice be heard by exercising your right to vote. Be informed. Visit AFAAction.net to get the AFA Action Voter Guide.
On November 8th, our nation will choose a president who will serve as commander-in-chief to protect our country and allies from terrorist attack, and who will nominate the next Supreme Court justice. Voters will also be choosing national and state legislators and officials at the local level. AFA Action urges you to learn which candidates would support religious liberty or strengthen national security. Be an informed voter. Visit AFAAction.net to get the AFA Action Voter Guide, and then vote.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Idols are the kind of thing most of us expect to see in primitive cultures. But Dr. Tony Evans says they're a lot more common than we think. He offers this insight as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
An idol is an unauthorized source to meet your needs. That's an idol. The moment you go to an unauthorized source, something God has not approved, to address a need in your life, you have brought another God into the equation. God has an exclusivity clause. God has a non-compete clause. Any unauthorized source that's designed to meet a need, even if the need is legitimate, is another God. You don't have to bow before a tree to have another God. You don't have to bow before a rock to have another God. All you've got to do is go to something God has not approved for you to go to meet the need, and that just became another God. So the reason why we are not seeing the presence, the power, and the voice of God in our situation is we come on Sunday to worship the true God, and then we go back Monday and we invite other gods into the equation. And the moment you do that, you have canceled the true God. You are to worship the Lord your God and Him only.
If what you see on the news and on the streets these days has you discouraged about the direction our country is headed, you're not alone. But Dr. Evans explains how healing can happen in his book called America. It reveals how God's people can recognize the real problem and start the process of revival. Details are waiting for you at tonyevans.org. Then be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Yeah. How many of y'all know that God is greater than anything? Let's go! Everybody come on, let's go! Everybody come on, let's go! LA!
provider.
Man, look, you better get on a Freaka TV right now. We are jamming in the studio to the glory of our King, Kendra White. Kendra.
Good
and
to
look,
be here.
Her last name is White, and she is white, but she don't move like a white woman.
All right. I'll take that. Many years of dramas.
Welcome back
get
the
to hips where they need to be.
Hey, for the Lord, for the Lord. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. Welcome back to Hour of Intercession. Victory McIntosh sitting in for Pastor Parker. And my beautiful sister, Kendra White, is in studio, our studio guest, and we are having a ball. Man, we're talking about forgiveness, and I feel like at the beginning of the show, people probably thought, oh, it's going to be a dreary type of show. No, forgiveness is a beautiful thing. It sets you free, all right? Mm-hmm. Yes, it sets the other person free, but more importantly, it sets you free, and it opens you up to so God can use you for his glory.
Yes.
Man, that's our number one reason for being on this earth as believers, is to do what God has called us to do, to fulfill what God has called us to do. And you can't do that when you got mess up in your trunk.
Right.
Oh, I feel like the preach coming up on Kendra. But we want you to finish your story, Kendra, if you could recap a little bit what the story
I'm going to see
is.
If I can summarize. So this is my favorite story about forgiveness. Corrie ten Boom was taken to a concentration camp because she was protecting Jews. Her sister dies in the concentration camp. Later, after the war is over, she's out and she's giving a sermon about forgiveness. And in the middle of the sermon, or afterwards, someone's walking up to her, and it's one of the guards that was at the concentration camp that abused people she knew that was there while she was there. So he asks for forgiveness. He said, you know, will you forgive me as well? He extends his hand, and she has this moment in time where his hand is out. He says, he's become a Christian. Can you please forgive me? And she's just frozen, right? So I'm going to start reading. She says, and I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. Thank you, Jesus, or there wouldn't be any forgiveness. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will. And the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one outstretched to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder and it raced down my arm, spraying into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried with all my heart. But Victory, it started with that moment where his hand was out and she chose to act on what she didn't feel, but what she knew God had called her to do. The feeling came later, and for her, it came pretty quickly. Some of us, it's going to take a minute.
Yeah.
But she acted on what God told her to do and forgave the captor who had tortured her.
And she acted on his word. I always think about, if you love God, you're going to obey him.
Yes. If you love me, you'll obey what I command.
Yes. If you love him. That's why when you said the Lord, man, girl, that was real. When you said earlier in the show that the Lord had told you to go clean the office of a knucklehead that had been doing you wrong. I'm being nice. Pastor Parker, every time I say knucklehead, I'm like, come on now, Victory. Let's do it. I'm like, they are a knucklehead, Pastor Parker.
There's a lot of other things we could say.
Yeah, I'm being nice, Lord. But now the Lord sometimes checks me and just say, just bless man of God or bless woman of God.
Yes.
But because I love God, of course I'm going to choose
to obey him. And yes. But I love the fact that she brings out it's not about a feeling. Mm-hmm. The feeling may come later. It may come years later on down the line. I don't know.
It might be heaven before you feel it. You know, some of us it takes a little longer.
Yes, it does.
But, you know, the ultimate example of someone being able to not be in their feelings, but to choose forgiveness and to bless those that were hurting them is Christ. You know, he's on the cross. Here they are yelling at him and mocking. Oh, if you're really God, come down. He is God. You have no idea what's going on. They have beaten him, abused him. And what does he say? Father, forgive them.
Yes.
For they know not what they do. That would not be the first phrase out of my mouth if I was doing that, I know.
But we can get there. Glory to glory. That's how we get there.
Yes.
And by getting more in his word, by praying, it's not going to happen. Like if you're an individual that every now and then you get into God's word, every now and you pray, it's going to be really hard. Mm-hmm. But when you are one who diligently, I love how Pastor Parker, he encourages everybody to spend three chapters.
Yes.
Three chapters. Man, and you don't have to read the long ones if you don't want to, but I promise you, you start reading those three chapters, you're going to be like, man, I don't want to put this down. This is good. But the more you get in God's word, the more you spend time in prayer, the more you become like him.
Yes.
1 John chapter 4, verse 17 says, as he is, referring to Jesus, so am I on this earth. And I know somebody may say, well, are you really fulfilling all of what Christ did? Are you really like him? I'm getting glory to glory. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, times when the flesh does try to kick in, I'm like, okay, as you are Jesus, so am I on this earth. Help me through it. that's this lifestyle, this relationship that we have with the Lord. He wants us to be transparent and open with him. I love how Corey Ten was just so real. I can't imagine shaking the hand of an individual who has put my family in a concentration camp, who has beat them, humiliated them, have them. I can't imagine.
The cause of a loved one's murder.
Yes, yes, yes. Jonah, that's why I always think about Jonah. Man, he was a reluctant prophet, but it was because of what God was asking him to do. He was asking him to forgive. Mm-hmm. He was asking him to get out of his comfort zone and to for his sake. But unfortunately, at the end of Jonah's story, why do you think that happened? He dies underneath a tree. That always gets me.
It does, man. And I think it's got some prophetic, you know,
other stuff
going on. That's a whole nother conversation.
I know.
But it's a good book.
It is, because he was definitely like, he was like, okay, I did it. I knew the Lord was going to forgive them. Yeah. But forgive people. Okay, I'm sorry. We're reading people are chatting with us. So that's, is there something specific that can help with a translation? Oh, sorry, I'm reading something else. Okay, let me start reading. I'm reading off of this website, Afrika TV. If you want to tune in, go to Afrika, AFREECA.TV/Hour of Intercession. You can also join in the chat room there as well.
I have a question for you.
Yeah, Kendra.
Okay.
Is it a scripture? Like what I did with you?
No, okay. I'm not going to do you that way. So sometimes when I deal with bitterness, it never manifests in actions, but it's like these imagined conversations in my head where that person gets hurt or I'm like, burn. You know, like does anybody else do that? You know, like you're like, I'm a Christian, so I can't, you know, do what I want to do, but I'm just going to think these thoughts in my head.
Yeah.
Do you think that those negative thoughts of thinking evil for that person, is that sin?
I do.
Okay. Tell me about it.
Because I think about where the scripture says, so what a man thinketh.
In his heart, so is he.
Yes, yes. Help me out, girl. Yes.
Right. So if you're thinking unforgiving thoughts.
It's the same thing. Because naturally, if you're thinking unforgiving, you can't help but your actions to
But you can't control every thought that comes into your mind. Sometimes it just comes out of nowhere,
Are you playing the devil's advocate
a little
right
bit.
Now? So let's go to the Bible. Man, we got 6 minutes. Time flies. We'll have to have you back. Girl, this is so
Love
much fun. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity. Meaning I'm going to grab that thought, bring it to captivity to the obedience of Christ.
JJJ, though, Victor, it's really nice to think about those thoughts. Like, it feels good in your spirit when that person hurt you. Like, it feels good to think about that.
Even punching them in the face. Like, y'all hear that? I'm punching. Punching them. Yes, it does. Well, into the flesh, but to the spirit. Because we are a spirit being first.
Yes.
We live in this body, and we possess a soul. It does to the flesh, but to the spirit, man, if you really, truly love God and want to please him, your spirit man is going to be like, that's not right.
So I think sometimes the enemy will send a random thought your way, and you don't have to be guilty for every thought.
Yeah.
But then it's that entertaining it. It's like hanging out there. You know, we're supposed to take it captive. So if that thought comes, ooh, that person, you got to instantly go to the foot of the cross with that thought. You got to take it captive. And sometimes I think the battle is happening in our mind more than in the physical world. It's happening in our minds and our hearts to forgive.
Yes. Kendra, girl, you better preach.
Ooh, I've been there. I've walked through it.
Yes, we all have. Man, I recently got up out of one.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, like somebody just.
Yeah, you asked me, but tell me some of your forgiving stories. Hey, do you have time?
We really don't.
Oh, man, you're going to have to.
Well, I know we'll have to do it again. But let me ask you this. Do you have any last words that you want to share with someone who is dealing with bitterness and how to give it to the Lord? Like, how do you go about doing that?
I would say, one, you got to be in the Word of God. Two, you've got to renew your mind daily, because those thoughts that the enemy's going to attack you with are going to take over. But if you're in God's word, he's going to transform your mind to think about things and view the situation the way he views it. And then I would also say sometimes it helps to find someone to pray with you to get over that thing and confess it to God.
You don't have to do it alone. That's what the body of Christ is for. Somebody in the Africa TV world, Krista, she says something powerful. She says, I say the blood of Jesus over my thoughts.
Amen.
I love that. Man, I'm telling you, I'm sure you've heard this term, plead the blood.
Yes.
People don't talk about it often. Too many times, many believers nowadays, all you hear in sermons is the prosperity gospel.
Right.
You know, money, money, money. But you plead the blood of Jesus over your mind. That's another thing I started doing, because I think everybody, majority of people, if you're a human, you've dealt with this.
Right.
Of thoughts in your mind that were like, no, whether it is unforgiveness or something just totally inappropriate, where I plead the blood of Jesus over my mind. I have the mind of Christ.
Yes.
You have no place in the temple of the Holy One.
And you obey in whatever he calls you to do. And that sometimes means acting. And you're going to say, oh, well, does that mean you're being fake? No. It means you say, this is who I want to be. I'm going to act like a person who's forgiving. So if a person who forgives shakes the hand of someone who tormented them, then you shake their, you say, I might not feel it. I'm going to lift my hand. I'm going to shake it.
Yes.
I might not feel forgiveness towards my boss, but I'm going to vacuum his office.
Come on now, Kendra.
I might not feel like talking to this friend, but rather than roll my eyes when I see her, I'm going to smile.
Yes.
You control the physical, and God will help you emotionally.
Yes. And can I add, and I don't do it so I can get blessed by God.
Yes.
I do it because I love God.
Yes.
Because he's my father. Because I love him, I'm going to do this. Like, I'm going to make, this is another thing I tell myself. I dress this flesh, I tell it what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Flesh, you don't control Victory McIntosh.
Yes.
I tell you what to do. You're going to get up and you're going to walk in love.
Right.
And yeah, that flesh may rise up and you may even get a little heated. But as you continue on and making those steps of faith, that's what it is. It's a step of faith. This believing, this believer lifestyle is all about faith. Man, Kendra, I would love for you to close because time is running out. Man, this need to be a 2-hour show. But could you pray for the listeners on? Oh man, that's it? Oh my goodness, Sherry B, stop the music.
We're gonna pray for you even if we're out of time. You might not hear us praying, but we're gonna stop right here and we're gonna be praying for you.
Thank
and we're joining
you,
with you.
Yes, in Jesus' name. God, y'all, thank you so much for tuning in to the Hour of Intercession. Victory McIntosh, our in-studio guest, Kendra White, thank you so much. I love you. Hey, guys, God bless you. Go share Jesus with someone. Stay connected. Stacey on the right and Abraham, the Hamilton Corner, coming up. Catch you later.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.